activity, how you get like so focused on one thing and then you move on to the other thing. I was dying laughing at that. But the reason I'm thinking about that is because I don't want to like start a series, the pitch series, and then not finish it. So I thought it, I think it, we decided it was going to be a 3-part series, right?
Yeah, we might've said that. We might've bitten off too much we can chew, but I think definitely 2 parts, maybe 3.
Yeah. In my mind, I saw it going down as, you know, part one was getting your foot in the, getting your foot in the door and like, generating leads and things like that for yourself. And then I saw part two, this episode being what to do when you're there, when it's not really in the bag yet, but it's looking good, and just how to navigate that, that arena. And I think today what we're going to do is, I know you pump my tires a bit and say you like the mini-sodes, the little mini-episodes, and, you know, I blush and all that. But I think we're going to keep it a mini-episode today.
What do you think? Love the mini-episodes.
The mini-sodes?
Yeah.
It would be so easy to do a ranting mini-episode, but, you know, I try to keep it positive. I think I will say, did Dave message you? Dave sent us. Dave sent us a really nice message.
I started crying. I soaked my phone. I had to dry it off. I was like,
it was just that was the soaked
nicest
in tears.
Thing I've ever read.
No, it was awesome. Dave had his AirPods in it when he was shooting, and we were right there with him, he said, which was really cool. So thanks, Dave. But he also said he really enjoyed the last episode about NFTs. I think what's just to follow up before we get into it, I think what was really eye opening about that episode and Dave's response or review of the episode was that he just really, he's a believer that people really probably just don't know about that, the majority. And he's probably right. And I was thinking back to when you did the 1-year episode and you asked me what makes me see red. Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And I think I got a little heated in the last episode.
Yeah.
A little fired up, a little passionate.
You,
but
you did.
I did.
Good thing you have a co-host, because I had to, like,
I would have flew off.
I had to take it down a notch. I was like, all right.
Put on some good cop, bad cop type of things. Yeah. have you seen the other guys where they do that movie? The other guys where they do, they're supposed to be doing good cop, bad cop in an interrogation, and Will Ferrell mishears and they do bad cop, bad cop.
Yes.
That's what I wish you had it done. And you're just taking it up another level. Mm. All right. Enough rambling. So, I defer to you. We're at the stage where we've been chatting. We've had a few emails back and forth with a company we're interested in or brand or whatever. And I think we're probably still trying to, we have a ballpark idea of what we want to, what kind of campaign or, you know, content we want to create for them. But maybe it's not finalized. Maybe there's still some details to work out, and maybe pricing is coming into the, discussion now. I think that'd be a really good thing to talk about, because before we started doing Shutter Team 6, and just a recap for everyone who doesn't know what that is, that's like Aaron, myself, Brett, Adam, Danny, and Nooch 10's little, I guess, what would you call it? Social media content creation company.
Yeah.
I was really underpricing for a lot of stuff, and you guys really opened my eyes up to, you know, what the work we perform is actually worth. So, I mean, why don't we start? What are your thoughts on like how to properly actually charge without having massive amounts of imposter syndrome, like that you're getting away with robbery almost?
I've gotten a lot of good advice. I had Adam Coppola on my show. He's the owner of Coppola Photography in Connecticut, a really successful photography business.
What does he do?
What we do by himself, he has a studio in his yard. He's been able to afford to build this gigantic studio, this photography studio. He does a lot of product work. He subcontracts different, you know, talents, if it's video or what have you, to create advertisements, campaigns. He does a lot of stuff like that. And he's been doing it for a good amount of time. And he's got the sort of pricing, contracting thing pretty down. He graciously had a long conversation with me and gave me some ballpark ideas of what things cost, you know, and what companies are willing to pay for good work. And it was kind of mind blowing, to be honest. I was like, wow, okay, now this makes sense. Now I understand how photographers can make a living, professionally, at this kind of rate. And not everything's equal. Not every company can pay the same amount. But that's some of the tips he gave me too, is kind of seeing what you can Google any business and figure out what their net worth is, what their yearly revenue is. You can find out, you can get some numbers to get some ideas of what their budgeting market may be, or their marketing budget may be. So just kind of clues like that. But I think before even all of that, there is a critical period, Seth, where...
Oh, using my first name.
I am.
Let me get the goosebumps away.
When you're throwing out 10 pitches to different companies and maybe, let's say it's a great day and five get back to you. This is, five are interested. Five want to move ahead. I think there's a strong reality that four of those five are going to drag their feet, change their mind, balk at the price, not be able to do it. Just a lot of things can come up. So this period, this part of this episode is a critical period, which I've noticed in just the short amount of time that I'm doing it. Like I'm learning quickly how to not let this fish off the line. So that's the feeling I've gotten many times. I can get a good amount of interest, but there's also that moment of like, I've lost this fish. This project was a yes, and now it's floundering. It's doing nothing. So I think
that on purpose?
The floundering? Yes.
Wow, everyone, just stop what you're doing.
Clap.
And just give a nice golf clap to Aaron there.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, well done.
Yep.
Flounder and and fish off the hook. Good for you, man.
Clever. You're welcome, guys and ladies. So I think that, you know, a couple of things. People are interested. Set up a call. Get a meeting going. Like, go work towards your strengths. If it's in writing, start the emails. Move it to something that's more professional. Don't just keep DMing. Move it to something that's more professional.
Yeah, I think it's important to get out of DM as fast as possible if that's your initial medium of exchange.
What's the best way to contact you? Text? Is it an email? You don't want a contact place where it could go days without them looking at it. That can get very frustrating and bring out, you know, bad sides in people. So what's the best way to do it? Can we have a call? Do you want to do a FaceTime? Do you want to do a Skype? Do you want to do just emails? What is it? So figure that out. Work towards your strengths. Try to work towards what's comfortable for them. And I think have a set plan when you're getting them on that call. So have your plan and have your speech and your pitch really ready and be ready to ask questions. Practice with friends. Practice. Have them challenge you. Have them, you know, throw curveballs at you and see if you can answer them before you get onto that call, and really try to discuss things, have backup plans, have backup options, backup pricing plans, whatever it is. You don't want this fish off the hook. So I think that's an important thing to recognize as you're like, you know, five out of 10 are interested. Some are going to get away from us. So let's do our best to secure these as well.
Yeah. Huge numbers game. I think what you said is really important too, about getting whoever your contact is on the phone. That's so important because you can essentially cover weeks worth of emails in a 10-minute phone call, and everyone's time is pressed, right? So when you're trying to set up that call with your, with the contact at the company or whatever, to go over your plan or your pitch or what have you, including in your email, 10 to 15 minutes tops is such a good way to go, you know, because then the receiver is like, oh, it's not really going to take up much of my time. Worst case, I lose 15 minutes of my day. So I think that's really good. It's not exactly an elevator pitch. It's kind of like, I don't know, space elevator pitch. A couple other things too that I've been really loving to include in emails, whether it's for not even brand work, but if it's you know, if you're working with a tourism board or what have you, or anything, is I always like to put the last line of my email as a question, right? So that you're kind of indirectly forcing them to give you a reply. That way emails don't sit in limbo. Like, I love to finish emails with, this all sounds great. Is there anything else you need from me at this point? ? Right? Because if it just ends with a statement, I feel a lot of the time you get that dangle, that limbo, which can be super frustrating. Then you got to follow up and things like that.
Yes. And I agree with that. And another huge point when you're on, say you're on a call or a Zoom meeting with, you know, a few representatives from the company before you get off that call, even if things went great, set up another checkpoint, like you're saying, in a sense, set up the checkpoint for next, let's say it's, what day is it today? It's Monday. I would love to set up another call for Monday where I can have X, Y, and Z for you. Mm-hmm. And we can go over that in just 10 minutes. And it, like you said, they will agree to 10 minutes if they're interested in this project. But now you don't have, I've done it. I've been there so many times where it's like they're not getting back to me. Do I have to reach out? Am I pushing it? Like that sort of guessing game where you don't know, they could be so busy. They could be trying to get back to you. You could have missed it in your email, like whatever it is. It's not a fun mind, mm-hmm. place to be in, you know, a mindset to be in. So here's a little tip: when you're wrapping up, if it's 1 week or 2 weeks, let's reconvene in 2 weeks for a 10 minute call. Does 4 work? That's good. All right. I'm putting it in the calendar. I'll send you an invite.
Exactly. Now, you beat me to it. I was going to say, utilize that Google Calendar invite. I never leave a conversation, whether it's an email or a phone call, where we talked about setting up a future meeting without immediately sending a Google invite with the time and date.
Yeah. And then now all you have to do is do a quick check-in. It's like, what a beautiful 2 weeks you have to just get the work done and then check in the day before to make sure, you know, that time still works, or I'm looking forward to seeing you. You have your meeting, or if they have to reschedule, if they reschedule, but now they have to reschedule, right? So it's not a chasing game. So I think that is a great point too, to get this thing going and get this secured.
Yeah, I always find too, when people reschedule, it's a good opportunity to gauge interest as well. We like to use dating as an example a lot. And, you know, I haven't been dating for a while. I know my girlfriend listens to this, so relax. I'm just kidding, Haley. So what I like to do is, if someone is looking to reschedule, like say it was on a date as well, it's up to them to bring up the next date or the next meeting time, in my opinion. And I feel like companies or people or whatever analogy you want to use here, if they reschedule or come up with an excuse and then don't provide another date, they might not be that interested. And mm-hmm. you can surmise that they might be one of those fish that gets off the hook. So then if you have three or four other different companies, you can, you know, decide where they weigh on the scale of importance in terms of your time. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it is, it's good to have a degree in psychology in a sense, or, you know, be cognizant of what people are doing and thinking and trying to, you know, wade through it and make the best decisions and set yourself up for success the best that you can. People get busy. Companies get busy. A company I'm working with now had a logistical nightmare that I had no clue about, but that's why they got a little flaky and they finally responded and explained it all.
Right.
And I was like, okay, well, that's great. I wish there was more communication, but who do you, you don't know me too much. Like, why are you going to go have to communicate to the guy that is maybe going to do photographs for you? Like, it's your company. You're having a shipping disaster. You need to figure something out. So I understand now. I think that's another one of the four agreements. Don't assume what's happening. Don't necessarily assume they're
that
not
it's personal.
Interested. Yeah, that's personal.
I had that happen to me today as well. I hadn't heard back from a certain company in a while. And, probably 2 weeks. I had sent a follow-up, and you know, people know I only follow up twice. And just said, sorry, like there's a bunch of employees who manage this email. The guy was on vacation last week and then I was on vacation. So yeah, exactly to your point. Don't assume. The other thing I really like to do in emails, I like to match and mirror, you know? I'll take note, maybe this is like too hyper focused, but I like it and it works for me. It gives me more confidence when writing emails or replies. Is that I'll take notes of, you know, how many exclamation marks they're using, you know, where they're putting them, mm-hmm. how long their message is, because like really attracts like, you know, generally mm-hmm. people are pretty, due to the ego, are pretty satisfied with themselves, whether they know it or not. So I like to try and mirror that kind of conversation back towards them. Like if you notice someone in an email is using no exclamation marks, this might sound silly, but don't put them in. Don't be overzealous. Mm-hmm. right? Yeah. If someone likes to use two or three, feel free. Match the length. Things like that. I think it's really important to match and mirror other people, mm-hmm. especially when you're looking to be on the end of receiving money or business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I also agree with make sure you're being yourself as well, Seth.
Of course.
Don't lose yourself in all that, but it is good to recognize that. I tend to have an exclamation point issue and I'm constantly deleting them. Like, hello. And I'm like, just say hello.
Yeah. Just say hello. I'm not going to lose myself, Aaron, over punctuation, for goodness sakes.
I'm just nervous. So let's talk about pricing.
Let me say one more thing.
Okay.
And this is opinion. I don't know if you agree with this as well. Maybe it's a bit of psychology. I always try to be the one speaking less on a phone. I like, and you know, this goes for cocktail parties or, you know, you're meeting people at dinner. Maybe it's your first time meeting your partner's parents or what have you. I like to ask questions that get them talking, because nobody ever walked away from a conversation where they talked a lot about themselves saying, oh, that person was an asshole. We don't want to work with them. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And to your point, asking questions that I am genuinely interested about. You know, I like to learn about people and companies and what have you. And I think that part just comes naturally, but it's so effective to not dominate the conversation and talk about yourself and all your achievements. I know it seems counterintuitive, but people really want to work, whether, you know, you're being hired in a job interview, or people want to hire and work with people that they like, you know, not necessarily that have these crazy accolades.
Yeah, for sure. I was giggling. What's the saying? Like, if you're silent, people might think you're stupid. If you talk a lot, they'll know.
I've never heard that, but I like it.
it's kind of a put down, but for all human race, but it's sometimes is true. Like, I think listening and responding is a good energy, right? Like having the answers is a really good energy. Versus coming to a pitch and asking tons of questions that is, well, they don't know what they're doing. They're asking a ton. Questions are great and we need them. We need answers for certain things, of course, but to be able to answer all the questions, then the energy is they have all the answers, you know? Right. So I think that is a good point too.
Yeah. And not maybe, and I don't necessarily mean questions that make you seem incompetent about the project. Questions like, oh, like how long, if, let's say you're talking to Sony. Oh, like when did you start your marketing position at Sony? That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, simple stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like how did you get into what you're doing? Like what else are you guys working on right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. That gives people an opportunity to talk about themselves and likely a position or job that they're passionate about, which gives off good vibes about you.
It's true. And people like that.
People do like that. Anyways, that's what I wanted to add before we moved on.
Yeah. No, that was a good ad. Good job.
You have the floor again.
Thank you. Pricing. I think there is an intuitional piece to the pricing and kind of following the vibe of the project. And there's different factors. And I think Seth would agree that there's different factors in terms of how much is this worth and how much is my time worth to do this? Like how complicated will this be? How much revenue or budget does this company have? And or is this a company I really believe in that's kind of starting on a ground floor? And if I get this gig for even a little bit cheaper than I'd like, might I have the opportunity to grow with them and be their person? Right. So I think there's a lot of different aspects to what are we going to put a price on for this? But like you said, and like I found out not too long ago, also, everything is part of the photography pitch. It's not just 8 pictures, right? It's not just 8 photos.
Right.
It's scouting locations. It's thinking of your narrative. It's thinking about the storyboard. It's simply thinking about the project is time that you're putting towards this company's livelihood. Mm-hmm. editing, to be simple? Do you need extras? Do you need models? Do you need places? Do you need setups? Do you need different outfits? All the things involved cost something for someone, and you have to account for that. Travel, how to get there, tolls, gas, all this stuff. All that stuff costs something. So things add up, and companies recognize that things add up. And I think they respect when you're able to list out what everything is and how involved a project is, because I think a lot of people aren't photographers and they think of 8 photos as 8 photos. Mm-hmm. Am I right? Am I right on that?
You are right on that. I think when you lay out all the costs, it shows that you're a professional and you know, you've been around the block. And mm-hmm. you know, you don't necessarily need to mark up everything. You just need to be aware of it. Like, you don't want to be losing money on your gas. You don't want to be losing money on your models that you're having to hire if that's something you need. You know, it gets to a point where it's up to you what you want to mark up and what you don't. Because ultimately you're doing mm-hmm. this to make a profit. It's a business.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
But just you want to avoid not charging for things like that.
Yeah, I think getting away from, I just keep saying 8, but it's 8 photos. Like,
so even the number 8, man.
That was the recent deal I'm doing, 8 photos for something. Okay. But I think that's why. But so 8 photos, okay. If you just think of it as, 8 photos, like, let's say, I don't know, $50 a photo, $400, okay. But there's so much more to that. You know, to create those 8 photos, even the time thinking about where do I want my mm-hmm. first 2 at sunset? Where do I want sorrise to be? All right, 4 more, like all the thought involved is part of working. You're working for this project. So you have to think about those things, I think.
Definitely. And, what was I going to say? I was going to say something about, I had a brain fart.
Well, think about
it. Too much heat today, Aaron. Yeah. Too much heat.
Think about it while I say, once you have an idea of your, let's say, all right, I'd like $2,500 for this project. Like that makes me feel good. I feel good about it. I feel like that's fair. All right. I'm going to give him, I like to say, hey, there's a million different ways we can create the content that you want. Like, I can use my iPhone video camera, or I can use a $10,000 video camera. Like, there is a difference in terms of budgets and what people want and what people expect. There's plenty of companies that have iPhone photos for all their Instagram and social media. I'm sure of it. Like, it's not a huge want for them or a huge ask. Like, they don't need that, or whatever the case may be. But there's a million ways to do things, different locations. Do you want to do a paddle board here in Connecticut on some lake, or do we want to do it on Lake Tahoe? Like, you know, there's a different, we could do the same photos, but just a different location, way different budget. So mm-hmm. I think asking the company too, in that sort of way, okay, so I have a general idea of what you're looking for. There's a million ways we could do this and make it happen. I need to know. I'm curious what your budget is. My friend gave me the example. He asked that question at the last minute, and they raised the price, what he thought was in his head, by $25,000 for the job.
Did he purposefully ask at the last minute?
No, I don't think it was purposely.
Oh, so it's just like, oh damn, we even talked about this.
Yeah, I think that's one of his, he always asked that. So I don't know if it was last minute or like towards the end or like before he gave his hand, just said, and sometimes people will, you know, question you back. Well, what are you offering? Like, what are you offering? And there might be a little back and forth. I'm not saying get in a fight, but sometimes, and it's happened both ways for me, a company will say it's 10 grand, it's 20 grand, it's 30 grand, it's 3 grand, like whatever it is. And then you can go, okay, now the ball's kind of in my court. So their budget's 3 grand. What's a fair amount of work for that? And then you can discuss back and forth. So I think you might be surprised sometimes where you're thinking 3 grand and they say 10, and you're like, whoa, thank God I didn't offer 3. They like laugh me out of the room and pay me right away.
But you may need to come up with more ideas that fill that 10.
I think
that 10 is a, you know, this is what we can, this is the most we can do. What can you do? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. but you might have been ready to, you know, sell the farm for three.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And I have done that before. It sucks.
Yeah. So sometimes it's a good question. Now you have your budget idea in your head, I like to give three tiers of work.
Yeah. An ABC.
It's stuff we've talked about and come up with this sort of thing. You have the middle one that you like. You have two others that are, you know, the, if we could sell this one for a little bit more money with like a nice perk, some sort of nice perk that they might go like, oh, for an extra $1,000, we get that. Okay. And then the cheaper version, which takes the work way down. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's cheaper, but now it's going to be a way easier job. And I think that's a good balance to kind of land on the middle one, which you really want, you'd be very happy with. But if they have to go either way, it's like a good deal.
Yeah. And I think little add-ons like that, that are a small fraction of the overall budget, where it makes it very easy just to say yes to, like, oh, why not? That sounds cool. It's only this much more.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? I like that. I like that a lot.
That's my pricing thought. Any questions from the listeners?
We should do a live show one time. That'd be really cool. I have a buddy who works at, he's been working in the advertising agency in Toronto for a long, long time. And, you know, I'm always bouncing ideas off of him, and he says the exact same thing that you do, you know, have an ABC pricing structure, tiered, where, you know, there's certain perks for that you add and remove based on your overall dollar value. I think that's way better than just having a, this is how it should be. Cause then maybe you minimize your negotiations. If you like all three of the options you're providing, maybe it's less money, but less work, or maybe it's more money, but more work. If you're providing a bunch of options, there's less of a negotiation phase where they can just pick like, yeah, that one looks good. And then you're done, you're set, and you're happy with all three of those things you've laid out.
Mm-hmm.
Was that coherent there?
Yeah, I think so.
Good. Apparently I'm forgetting my thoughts now. It's been so hot, man. So humid. I don't know how it is where you're at, but.
Oh, yeah.
I'm staring at my beer right now, my can of Molson Canadian, because I like to have a little sippy poo on these episodes. And it is just covered in condensation. It's gross.
Wow. Well, we had our fake hurricane that came through.
Your furricane, eh?
Yeah, it didn't do much. Limited damage, nothing. They thought it was going to be bad, but it was not. So I'm happy. But yeah, it has been humid as well. So, well, listen.
That's a good mini-sode. Maybe we'll need a part three. Maybe we'll not.
We got the pricing in. What else would there be? I mean, there's the pricing, and then, you know, getting it signed. We could talk about just, you know, the contracting, getting it signed, moving it on, doing the work, even a little bit, storyboarding. I don't know, but
yeah, I like to think we all know how to work hard at that stage.
Yeah, that's the basics, right? We got the how do we get gigs and make a contract, make some money.
That's the hardest part. Once you're there, then it's all up to your expertise, and you can be confident in knowing what you know.
Yeah, and disclaimer to everyone: I don't know anything. I just started this thing.
But I these have are the things, how-to book in front of me.
These are the things that have worked a bit, and
I should close my photography for dummies tabs that are open on my computer.
And I'm excited to keep trying my own tips. And
but in all seriousness, you and I don't know everything. We're constantly learning. We're constantly proving and constantly innovating.
That never
ends.
If we went back, if I could pinpoint parts of this conversation, I would go, I'm giving you that advice because I screwed up here once.
Right? I'm going to say, yeah, I made every single don't do that we did in this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why we know. And it's good to learn those things. And yeah. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, did you hear that crack?
What was that?
That was a mosquito getting zapped. I have a bug. I have a mosquito zapper in my little tiny home here. Just comes and you go in and out. The bugs sometimes get in. So that crack was a bug hotel. Ooh. They go in, but they never leave.
Oh man!
All right, that's everyone. Smart. Thanks, Aaron. It was fun talking to you again.
See you, bud.
Bye.